Hello.
Hello. So, hello everyone, and welcome today to Papa Hector's podcast. We're here today with a special guest, Mambo Sandy, coming in the building. Yes, she is. And as always, make sure that you can hear us on iTunes or Google Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to HectorSalva.com, hit that subscribe button on the mailing list, and find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at Humran Hector. So Mambo Sandy is a Mambo, which is a priestess of the Vodou, and as well as being an Espiritista, a spiritual worker, a coach, and a stripper, and many other things. So, first off, I want to hear from you, Mambo Sandy. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, wow. Well, one thing about me is that this world has taught me a lot of different things. As you said, I've experienced a lot of different things. And I was brought up, now I wasn't brought up in spirituality in the sense of the Caribbean spirituality, but I was brought up to pay attention to what's around me, to pay attention to my dreams. And my very first mentor was my grandmother, my great grandmother actually. She taught me to be, respectful of nature and to be aware of the signs that animals show you. Okay, which is why I have a fondness of animals. I love animals. And from there, as you know, when she passed on, I grew up in the world and I traveled. And as you said, I became a stripper, which many people think sometimes is how can I say this? That's not spiritual when actually you have to be on top of your game and be very have some type of really good intuition or I'm gonna say a second sense, if you want to say a sixth sense, if you want to say. So yeah, that's a little bit about myself.
Okay, and so where are you at today? Like, what is life like for you now? How are you experiencing life?
Well, through your teachings, Papa, my life is in a much better place than what it was. On that journey, I can sit here and I can admit I collected a lot of nonsense, or as you call them, Papa, Khalsa, over the years from not paying attention to certain things. As meaning, like, because like I didn't have that spirituality where I could pick up on, okay, this didn't attach itself to you, that didn't attach itself to you. So now I'm in a much better place. I'm in a much better, I'm going to say, I'm still going through my healing process in a sense, but I'm in a more content place where you've got me at now.
Awesome. So what I want to hear about is like what you were saying with causas, right? This is something that everyone, a lot of people have, and they deal with this. And causas are negative energies, entities, and beings that really like draw you down. What have been some of the struggles? Because a lot of people are struggling with causas and they don't even know that they have causas. So what are some of the struggles that you faced with causas?
Ooh, one of the main ones, and some people don't like to talk about this, was my love life. Okay, I suffered very much from that. The other one was my money. Like when you met me, when I met my papa, say when I met papa, it was bad. Like by the time I got to you, it was just really, really bad. And it stayed that way for numerous of years. Pain to the point where You taught me that. I said to you one day, I remember saying, Papa, how did this happen? When did this happen? How come I can't hardly walk? And you was like, well, darling, you know, when you're younger, you can supersede things. And you had me go back all the way back to a time where I remember certain little pains that I thought was like physical pain, but it actually was the beginning of me almost not being able to walk and being crippled because I held on to those calcium and didn't even know that I was from. It wasn't from some things was, yeah, I had went in some spiritual places that the people didn't know what they're doing. Okay. And the other one was because of my job, at that, you know, because of being a stripper, you're in an environment where there's all kinds of people. It's almost like how they say, don't go to graveyards too much, hospitals and places of that nature. But it affected my life, my love life, where I didn't receive the love, or I kept putting myself in the same messed up cycles, and it affected my sexuality big time.
So you brought up three really important points. So one is you were almost at the point where you weren't going to be walking. So what was going to happen? What was going on with you then? Like, where were you at? Like that you weren't going to be able to walk. What was the doctor saying to you?
Well, the physical doctor was saying to me, basically it was my weight. That's what they kept saying. It was like my weight and things like that. And my papa knows me that I'm not a big eater. So it's like, where is this weight coming from? And they were basically saying I had a heart issue. I even at one time had got so big that I was trying to get weight loss surgery. But for whatever reason, they kept telling me, no, you're not big enough for weight loss surgery. You can get rid of this, you know. But now I know why. Once you told me, the spirits came through my papa and said, you know, if I would have got any type of surgery at that time, I would have died on the table because it just wasn't meant for me to get surgery at that time.
And so, like, now you can walk, though, right? You can still walk. Like, how did that transpire for you?
Whew. It was through your lessons, Papa. It was through the healing of Espiritismo. It was through the healing of you. It was you giving me lessons. Spiritual lessons and proper spiritual teaching is so important in this because it's something that you can't stop and start. And going through the teachings, going through certain ceremonies that you did for me, like you took me down to DR, and you did things for me there that took the majority of it off. But you said to me, you're still going to have to fight. The fight is still on, you know, for me to get back. And you gave me an example. You said, well, you're like a broken vase. The vase can be put back together, but it may not be 100%. But I can get back to, you are like saying like 96%, 95 to 96%. And some people might be ungrateful for that. But hey, you know, you're talking about a person that was swinging around poles all the way up to like 10 foot poles to not being able to walk. So being someone like yourself, Papa, saying that you'll be able to be to 95%. I can do a lot in 95%.
Yep. And how about like, how did that, you know, like the life, just like everything, affect which when you were like basically your love life was really affected, it was really blocked up, it was really like stopped up, and your sensuality, like basically you found a lot of struggles with that, correct?
Yes, I did. Something a lot of women don't want to admit, it made me, as far as my love life was concerned, it made me not want sex. It made me not be sensual. And you're talking, like I said, from, like you said, being a stripper. At that time, I had basically stopped because I couldn't no more. It wasn't. And it affected me in a sense that nobody wanted to be with me. And if they were with me, it would only be for a period of time, or it was like basically a, if you want to say, a toxic relationship.
Exactly. And a lot of people deal with these toxic relationships and their money being blocked up too, right?
Yes.
You know, because of galsas and negative energies and things of that nature. But now that you're in a different place, where are you going? What's the next thing for Mambo Sandy? What's going forward?
Okay. Well, the next thing is, soon as I really get back, and we always have this conversation, soon as I really get back, one of the things I want to do is I have a couple more years left in them heels, so I want to do that. But what I really want to do is I want to heal women. I want to have a program where women can heal, because going through that, I also started going through perimenopause. And a lot of things with that you helped me with, as far as spiritually, you taught me that some of the things that women deal with when it comes to menopause is just not physical. You know, it's what people had took care of the symptoms, but they're not taking care of the issue. And I've seen you work miracles with women that were close to almost 50. And they really wanted this baby. And you were like, yeah, is this what you really want? And they were like, yeah, this is what I want. And you were able to do that for them because you know that there are other things greater than us. And working with you, it has taught me the symptoms and signs that a lot of women overlook, and then it's almost too late, you know, sensuality, sexuality, the changing of the body. Doing your classes, I hardly have any hot flashes at all. That's something that's associated with that. And
it was something you were dealing with, though.
Yes, it's something I was dealing with. Still am, but I'm able to deal with it. And it's not impeding on my life.
Exactly. And as you're moving forward, right? So this is a common thing here. I got one. Is like in our traditions, we don't reject and we don't say no. We say yes, right?
Right.
And in what people think of spirituality.
Yes.
Right. They think that one can't be like basically a stripper or, you know, someone who works in the adult industries.
Yes.
Right. And still be a priest or a priestess, still be spiritual, et cetera, et cetera. So have you faced this?
Oh, yes, I have. You were the first, well, I would be lying. The first person that told me I couldn't do it was someone I actually danced with. That was what was crazy. She was like, oh, you can't be a part of that. You know, you have to be wear white all the time and you can't do that. And it kind of held me up because I'm like, well, this is calling me. Because let me just say this, Papa, how I found this spirituality was actually unconventional. If you allow me just to say, I found this not through my own devices, if you want to say.
How did you find our spiritualities?
Through a girlfriend, literally not like just a friend, but through a girlfriend. It was a young lady that we were both young and we liked each other and stuff. And her mother had just came from Africa. She had just came from Africa and she was a priestess of Oshun. She had got initiated as a priestess of Oshun. So she had never really invited me up to her apartment. So like I said, her mom was just coming back and she was like, well, let's go upstairs because I want to check on my mom. She's just getting in. And she had kind of pretty much had her stuff set up from her initiation. When I walked in the room, I felt this like energy that I never felt before, you know. And I remember her mother looking at me, and we just had like this moment. We looked at each other, and I wasn't scared. Like, I wasn't scared to ask her, like, basically, because her head was like, they take your hair off.
Exactly.
So I asked her, you know, why is your hair so short, and why she was dressed, and she explained to me. So my journey started there. She didn't teach me anything, because the weird thing was, she and her daughter just disappeared. And back in those days, Papa, because you know your daughter's old, we didn't have social media and all of that. So if
somebody, and on cell phones and all that jazz.
Exactly. So when somebody disappeared, they kind of disappeared.
Pretty much.
So from there, it was me finding my first santero. And he disappeared. But he was good to me, but he was strict. Then I found Miss Gail that I always tell you about. Then our lovely Mambo Sunny. And then finally you. But everything was unconventional. Everything.
And that's a very important thing that you just said, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people, when they first come on the spiritual path, what they're exposed to, per se, ain't necessarily where they're meant to be.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So a lot of people, like, when they're first exposed to these spiritual paths, they're exposed to many of these spiritual traditions. There's many of them that exist. But just because you're exposed to that, it might be what's opening the door for you. Opening the door.
Yes.
But it might not be where the ultimate thing is for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. And I'm glad you brought that point up, Papa. Miss Gail, because she was who I was with for like a long time. Now, here's what she would say to me. And this is what, and this goes into what you're saying. So I'm going to answer two questions. I told her I never hid what I did from anyone once I started being a stripper. Because if you want to say my mentor in that life told me, hiding this, and this was, like I said, once again, before social media, hiding this will just cause you pain. You might as well just let people know, okay? So that was a good piece of advice. And so when I met Miss Gail, she was really my landlord. And I told her, I said, you know, I'm a stripper. This is how I make my money. Sometimes I work, you know, as a home health aide. But for the most part, I'm a stripper. And I didn't know that she was a I think, Papa, you said she was an espiritista, how I would explain her. She was also a practiced Yoruba. I didn't find that out till like a year, almost a year of me living there, because she was a very private person. But yeah, I went through her. And finally, when things happened and we started talking, she started telling me, and I'm like, oh, Miss Gail, I'm going to be on this path. And she would say to me, Storm, because that was my name, my stripper name. She would say, Storm, I am not your teacher. Your teacher, you will know him when you meet him. Now, all of that time, years and years and years went by. And all these other people I thought were my teachers, they were my teachers, but they were not my teacher.
Exactly. They weren't where you were meant to ultimately end up.
Exactly. And at first, I was bitter because of some of the things I went through, but your lessons and your teachings have taught me not to be upset with those people, because it taught me how not to be. And it also gave me knowledge that if I couldn't find in a book, it's things that I went through on my own accord.
Exactly. Because it's very common that, but going back to kind of a little bit of the other topic as well, like basically in our traditions, like there is no problem with someone being a stripper or in the adult entertainment industry and also being a priest or a priestess.
Right.
Because basically we're a totality and we accept everything. But have you faced it many a time where people have said to you, like, no, that can't be done, or like, you know.
From my own strippers. That's the funny thing. Now they'll go to a, this is the funny thing. This is what, as you say, it's hypocritical in a sense. They'll go to priests, priestesses for work, to get work done. Because let me tell you, in that strip club, there's a lot going on. I have a friend, he always says, all I had was my hammer and my tape measure. That's what I was going to work with. Just my, and this is like pre-Miss Gale. I knew some things, but I didn't think people was doing this at work. Like, I was very, very naive. So it wasn't until I started seeing girls show up with, you know, the thing, Florida water, okay? And little bottles of Pompeia with things in it. And these little bottles of spiritual lotion, I mean, spiritual oils and things like that. So I'm like, what in the world is going on here? But when I wanted to pursue it, I was told, you can't do that. You're a stripper. They're not going to let you in that community. And then one night, a girl came in that she, before she got dressed, she took off her leggings. And I remember her name. Her name was Anastasia. And she said to me, I asked her, I said, are you a Sandetta? She was like, yeah, I am. I was like, what? She was like, but even with her, she said to me, but all of my house doesn't know about it. So that told me, like, her godfather or god or godmother knew, but it wasn't, like, that information wasn't to everybody, because these people treat this kind of like Christianity still. They have Christianity way of thinking, even though they are part of this traditions.
Exactly. And, like, the thing is that really a person is made of a spirit. A person has a spirit in their body. So basically, being spiritual or not being spiritual, it's not really an option. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Exactly, yes, Papa.
If you exist, you're a spirit living.
Exactly.
So you're being spiritual just by living, even when you do unspiritual things.
Yes, yes.
Okay? Or what people consider unspiritual.
Right.
Right? And, but in our traditions, we don't have that basically division.
That's true, Papa. Can I add this, Papa, real quick? Mm-hmm. You spoke about, like, paths. What amazes me still is there's different paths of Oshun, and one of them is her as, you know, a sex worker, a prostitute, whatever you want to say. Then there's Daila, who is a lady of the evening in Haitian voodoo. And then there's Pamajira and all these other spirits that people, when they come to parties, they bring them gifts and they pray, you know, they do all these things for them. But then the people that live, that are, if you want to say their children or their daughters or whatever you want to call it, or sons, the community can kind of be kind of nasty. And I saw that happen with you one time, Papa, when Daila came through you one time. And I had never seen her. And I asked when you, you know, once everything was over and you came back to being my Papa, I asked you, why did the people act like that towards her? And you explained to me why. And I was still in my new journey with you, and I was confused. And sometimes I still get perplexed.
Yeah, because people wanna, you know, basically think that they know. But if we have these parts within the mysteries, the luases, what that which is sacred, then who are you to say, really?
Exactly.
What is, what can go, what's acceptable and what's not?
Yes.
Right? And everybody has their thing.
Yes.
You know? And so you're planning on going back more on that, working on, you know, helping women clear out a lot of their issues that they've dealt with. What is one of the biggest things, or two of the biggest things, that you would say to people that are trying to, like, get on this path?
The first thing is, because people don't want to talk about this, you have to invest in yourself. And yes, you need to know you're going to spend some money. okay? Because no one wants to associate money with spirituality, okay? And you have to be prepared for that, because it's not something that you stop and you start, because you taught me. Once you start and you stop, either you're going to stay stagnant or you're going to degress. You're going to go backwards. Okay? And that can be detrimental to you because you're not moving and doing what you're supposed to do. So you can't stop and start. That is, it's just not going to work. You can, but you might have some problems. That's number one. Number two, once you find a spiritual mentor with a strong lineage, they know what they're doing. Don't go jumping all over the place, because you will end up, and that goes back to, like you said, Papa, earlier, Khalsa, you're going to end up someone messing your head up, messing up your spirits and everything, and probably add some of their Khalsas to you, because picking out your godparent, or you getting to know your godparent, that godparent, you can end up having some of their issues. So finding a godparent, sticking with that person and not just jumping all over the place, reading everything on forums of people that don't know what they're talking about. Books are not going to teach you but so much at all, if anything.
Now, you bring up a really great point. Mm-hmm. And that's finding a godparent, right?
Yes.
What is something that we always say is really right?
Yes.
Not everyone out there is meant to be a godparent.
No, not at all.
Right? Don't we always say this? Like, everyone yes. out there is not meant to be a godparent, right?
Yes, we do.
But there is many people out there godparenting around.
Yes, they are.
And so finding a godparent actually is not such an easy thing.
No. No.
Right?
No, I can attest to that.
And jumping into receiving initiations and ceremonies before really kind of getting some foundations, right, can mess you up.
Yes, a lot.
So one thing that's always said is, like, you know, getting a good godparent is not an easy thing. So what do you have to say about that, about, like, people out there who are godparents, godparenting around, and, like, basically, you know, finding a godparent, you know, things of this nature. What's a good godparent? You know?
Okay. Well, one, a good godparent is going to be a godparent that is not going to tell you what you want to hear, okay? They're going to tell you what you need to hear. They might get after you sometimes. They might scold you sometimes. You might, as you say, get a spiritual bow-bow because you didn't listen to your godparent. And your godparent, I always say about you, Papa, that you're not a coddling godparent. You are to a, you're a nurturing godparent. And I say that you will have somebody with the training wheels, and then eventually, you know, you're going to take the training wheels off the bike. But you know what happens sometimes when you take the training wheels off the bike? You might topple over, but you're not going to let the person get hurt with so much, okay? But you can't sit there and hold their hand all the time either. So that's finding a godparent. It's not a person that's going to be a yes person all the time to you, okay? Godparents. Many people become initiated 1 year, they know nothing, they haven't had any proper training themselves, and then the next year, not even the next year, as soon as they get out of initiation, they got godchildren.
Sometimes they got godparents, godchildren waiting in line exactly. to get initiated by them after their initiation gets completed. They ain't even had their thing done yet, right?
Exactly. And from working with you, Papa, you know, you taught me this initiation these things take time to settle. Like, it takes almost, depending on the person, a year to 2 years to settle. And those God children are now attached to you. So all those things that you do, all of those, anything that they do, now you're responsible for, in a sense. And any of your shortcomings, we always have a joke that some people weren't liking chocolate, cigarettes, or any of those things until, you know, they got initiated by, you know, by you, Papa. But that's a good, I mean, you know, depending on how you look at it, it's not a bad thing, whereas we see other things that people go through because now they're attached. It's, you know, spiritually is blood is weaker than the spirit. You know, it's not the same. So you voluntarily went and said, this, I want this person as my godparent. So there's an attachment on both sides of the fence, you know?
Exactly.
And the God kids don't understand that. So if you have a wild and crazy godparent, which is why I always said to you before, Papa, I'm like, Papa, I'm not going to have any God kids. I refuse. And you always was like, okay, darling. And even with that, I always come to you for advice. You have to be humble. You have to be humble because you don't know everything. Even as a godparent, you know, if your godparents are alive, it's supposed to be, as you taught me, Papa, a chain, like a lineage, you know?
Exactly.
And that lineage is important. And that's what I tell people, you know, when they come to me, I'll tell them, no, I think you need to go see my Papa, you know, and that's why your godparents are there. And a lot of people don't give their godparents the honor and respect that they should. Someone said to me one day, I did a podcast and I would announce, you know, thanks to my God, you know, got my godparent, Papa Hector. And they said, why do you always do that? And I said, I wrote back, because it's called respect. It's called honor. He is the racine. He is the root. Without him, it was his back that I stood on to get where I'm at.
Exactly. Exactly. And so there's that. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, and a godparent really has to be able to, like, put up with a lot, right?
Oh,
like deal with,
yes,
deal with whatever.
I've watched you with that. I've watched you dealing with all types of different situations. Situations I've admitted to you that I would say, Papa, not me. That would be it. They would be done. That's it. No, I can't. You have to have humility. You have to have patience as a godparent. You have to figure out what is spiritually wrong with these people that are coming to you. you're a host. You know, you're a psychologist. You're so many things. A psychiatrist at times. I mean, it's not easy. To be a god, people make it, what it is, Pop, is some godparents make it look like there's no effort to it. So when people come to parties, they see, let's say, yourself, you know, you're doing this party, everything is flowing smoothly. People are coming to bring you these little trinkets and everything. So they see that part. You know, they see people doing things for you there, you know, maybe giving you water or, you know, things like that. But they don't see you're keeping negative spirits out of the party. They don't see that you're holding the party. They don't see all of the things that go behind it, the headaches that you taught me that I used to have before a party. And you was like, yeah, darling, it's more to it than just putting up a table. Okay. and you allowed me to experience being a host, we had a certain person come and you gave me all this list of food and fruit and stuff that I had to get. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to host no more parties. But it was a lesson. And you could tell me, but making me go through it on my own. And you still were holding the party for me. But you kind of was like, all right, I'm going to let her see how it feels to hold on to one of these parties. And at the end, I was tired. And I'm like, we got to clean up now. And, you know, it was a lesson. So you made me more appreciative. And being a godparent, you have to do all of that. And if your godchild calls you in the middle of the night, you better hope the godparent, well, I'm going to say the godchild better hope they have a godparent that's not going to roll over and be like, I'm tired. I'm not getting up to light no cigar or smoke no, light a candle or smoke a cigar. And Papa, you've done that. I've been at your house and I've witnessed you do that. I witnessed you say, oh, let me go down here and do this for somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. And right, there's, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that get caught up sometimes with, you know, individuals who, they may be good individuals, but maybe they're not ready to be godparents.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
I've experienced that too. Yeah.
Yeah. How often do you see this?
I see it a lot. I see it quite often. I've witnessed people come, reach out to me via YouTube. Okay. And they'll send me a, email, but they'll never get back to me because, you know, as I say, Pop, you know, I'm not scared to say people are cheap. Okay. And, next thing I know, I'll see them on Facebook. They're in Haiti or DR. And now they're a Mambo or a Hungan or a Papa Bokor or a Spirit Thing. And you're like, what? Wait, what? How did this happen so fast? And then if you, you know, you're looking at this situation and you're just like, you may be a good person, but you haven't even unraveled yourself. So how can you do this for other people? You can't.
Yeah, right. And then they are ready to go ahead and initiate others.
Yes. So it's a bad fruit. It's a bad fruit producing more bad fruit.
Yeah, it creates a very negative cycle in the community.
Yes. And Papa, this happened the other day and I just wanted to bring this up real fast. You had posted a little meme and it said, do you need some friends during this time? And it was like a picture of a Ouija board, right?
Exactly.
And what people, because people are greedy for money and they have these egos, they don't understand that even giving someone a reading can mess another person up because of a couple of things. Because number one, they don't have proper training. And people think because they have an ability, I don't like using the word gift because it's not a gift. It's an ability that needs to be nurtured. Okay. And so they give these readings. They're not clear themselves. And I'm going to say this. Before I met you, you know, I would do readings. Luckily, I did meet Ms. Gail and she helped me with some things. However, there were times that I would read someone and I would see that situation happen to me. So was I reading myself or was I reading that person?
Exactly. Exactly.
And no one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about those things because they make to them, oh, I'm being weak. No, it's because you have to spiritually clear yourself. And when I started your training, my gifts became even more intensified in a positive light.
Exactly.
So even that can be dangerous. Something that just seems so simple because it's still a tool that, or as you say, a portal that any entity can enter. But most people don't want to, A, humble themselves and say, hey, I don't need to be doing this.
Exactly. There's a reason why it's something that one goes through proper procedure and training and really, like, it's a proper process.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So it's been awesome, Mambo Sandy. And where can people find you at?
The same outlets as you, Papa. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And they can also find me help@mambosandy.com and mambosandy.com. Those are the outlets to reach me at.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for coming here and sharing with us on our show. And we hope to have you again sometime soon.
Thank you, Papa.
Awesome. God bless. And so everyone here, keep the faith. That's our conclusion here with our interview with Mambo Sandy. As always, go to HectorSalva.com, subscribe to the newsletter, find my social media, and listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. And we'll see each other again soon. Keep the faith and stay safe.